message is going to be relatively quick, and that's not pastor talk, I hope. Amen? You ever heard a pastor say it's going to be a short message? Right? Well, in intent, it will be a short message. I was sitting there thinking when Scott was singing that last song, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, if you read the Bible. And he said if there would be 50 people, 50 righteous people, I won't destroy it. And then Abraham began to bargain with God. And he said, how about 40? 30? 20?
If there be 10, God?
You know, sometimes I wonder if God's holding on to the United States, not for the whole country, because we are something in our minds, but maybe there's 50, 40, 30, or 20, or 10 righteous people who are just saying, I love you. I love you. I hope there's about 100 in here this morning who will say, you know what? I love you. I love you. I hope you got your Bibles. I want to make a couple of quick announcements. These people weren't looking for recognition, but God put it on my heart. And I want to say to Johnny Hickman, thank you for mowing and weed eating and doing all the stuff around the building. It looks amazing. Thank you for that. He don't look for recognition. He didn't want me to do that. And the next person is Lee Malin. Thank you. If you've seen this little classroom across over here, he's put steps on it. He put a cover over it to keep the rain out. He replaced the floor and he replaced the door, and he spent more hours up here doing that. And without one, hey, will you recognize us for that? So we recognize you two gentlemen. We really appreciate what you're doing. It don't go unnoticed or unseen. Yeah, let's do that. We will open up the doors to the church tomorrow. That's the way we say in church world. We're going to give you the opportunity to join the church next Sunday if you would like to, okay? So there's going to be an opportunity to do that. And if you want to do it by baptism, please let me know this week where we can fill up the baptistry. And if you haven't been, if you've been saved but you haven't been baptized, let me know that as well, and we can do baptisms next week. All right. And, hey, Charlie, where's Charlie? Charlie, remind me right at the end of the service, say, do that special thing, okay? No pressure. Go ahead. He don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Yes. Yes. Let's give them a round of applause. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. All right, y'all. Are y'all ready? Are you ready? We're going to get in the Word of God. When I told Charlie that, he has no clue what I'm talking about. It's just where I won't forget, okay? All right, that's special. Yeah, he's sitting over right now going, the special thing. What in the world is the special thing? Yeah, the special thing. I got it wrote down up here too, but just in case I forget. Amen? But John 3:16, you're not here by mistake. I'm going to preach a message that probably needs to be preached and taught in every corner of our world, but especially in our country. God has really burdened my heart for this message, and I don't know, it's not going to be hermetic, it's not going to be perfect, it's not going to be in order, it's going to be kind of like fireworks in a sense. I'm just going to shoot every one I got, and then at the end we'll go home. But hopefully you'll go home saved. That's the point. I hope you'll go home saved. That could be a whole message in itself. I hope you go home saved. Amen? Because we're all going to a home. Amen? A spiritual eternity, but I hope you go home saved. Amen. John 3:16, I want to say this right here. It's probably the most popular verse in the Bible, but it's fading. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me slow that down for you. For God so loved you, the world. That was everybody that was against him. When he says the world hated God and rejected God and had no part with God. But God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. When he says he gave him, he didn't just give him. He nailed him to a cross. And what held him to the cross was your sins and my sins. That whosoever, it don't matter where you're at in your life, that you can call on Jesus Christ. The whosoever means wherever, whenever, however. You can seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have a promise that surpasses all the promises in time and history. There in the Old Testament, if you'll read in the Old Testament, Solomon, they built the temple to God, and he made a proclamation. He said, if anybody ever gets in trouble that falls under the banner of Christ or God, they can turn towards this building and seek you, and God will hear and deliver that person. You know, like a lot of times when Israel would get in trouble, they would say, well, you know, okay, the temple's that way, and they'd turn to the temple and start to pray. But then God done a better thing. He put His Son on a cross and lifted Him up between heaven and earth and said, if you'll look unto Me, if you'll look unto Me, you can be saved. No matter what, and you don't have to look to, you don't have to find where the cross is. You just got to say, I know there was a place over 2,000 years ago where God was given for me. Man, ain't that a beautiful thing? I love when I start thinking about it, the cross, the ground at the cross is level. Hey man, back 2,000 years ago, if you read the story, there was a lot of people in Jerusalem. They were Hebrews, Latin, and Greek. Amen. What that means is every word that we have, every word that's spoken, even in our country today, can be traced back to Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. What it says, that the King of the Jews died on a cross, and everybody that sees it and it experiences it and believes in it can have salvation. The poorest of the poor. It's level at the cross. Matter of fact, if I could be really honest with you this morning, the poorer you are, the less you have, the worse your life is, usually the quicker you are to come to Jesus and say, yes, I need Him. Amen? At the cross, it was the thief who had no hope, no future, no plan of restoration. He just looked over and said, remember Me when you come into My kingdom. The poorest man at Calvary got saved. Amen. Then Joseph of Arimathea, probably the richest man at Calvary. I love talking about him. He one day, God had prepared his heart, and he was sitting on the sidelines, and he had a lot of wealth and a lot of money, and he had a really great graveyard. Oh, I could preach. He had bought himself a really good plot to be buried in. Amen? Some of y'all got great life plans. And some of you've already got a plot of where you're going to be put when that life comes to an end. But Joseph Arimathea said, you know what? God, I'm about to preach. If I lose my mind, Ed, you can finish the sermon. But watch what he says right here. He said, I'll give you my life, and I'll even give you my death. Amen? I'll give you everything I got, and I'll even give you my tomb to be buried in. I think Joseph Arimathea was one of the first ones that came to the recollection is, I can give him my death because guess what? He's not going to be there long. And because he's not going to be there long, I won't be there long either. Amen? Some of you ain't going to believe this, but everybody in this room, if you really get to thinking about it, everybody in this room, in about 80 years to 90 years, some of y'all are sitting there going, I'm going to outlast all of y'all. Well, good, we'll give you 100. But everybody in this room in 100 years will probably be in eternity somewhere. Amen? You better start thinking now. You start making a plan. I love what it is. The richest and the poorest can come to the Christ, come to Jesus and be saved. But guess what? The wisest and the most unwisest. That's the most politically correct way I can put that. Amen. I sit here all day trying to figure out how I could put that. In my terms, I would say the smartest and the dumbest. Amen. I didn't say it, though. I didn't want to say that in front of everybody. I fall on the spectrum near the dumbest. I do. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm one of the most uneducated people you'll meet. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not scared of that. Because one great thing about that is I was smart enough one day, amen, to begin the wisdom, which was the fear of God. I didn't overthink it. I didn't overcomplicate it. I didn't sit there and think, man, well, God, you better prove yourself to me, and you better mathematically make sense, and you better do this, you better do that before I can understand who you are. God put Himself on a shelf that I could reach. God put Himself on a shelf that you can reach. Amen? He said, I'm your Savior. He said, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. And a simple man did a simple thing one day. He just said, Jesus, I'll take that free salvation if you'll give it to me, because my life's a mess, amen? And he saved me to the uttermost, amen? I like the old preacher said, he saved me from the guttermost to the uttermost, amen? That's an old saying, not many people say it anymore, but he did take me out of the gutter, and I'll never go back to the gutter, amen? I can tell you about it. I can explain it to you. I can tell you the smells, the taste, the experience. I can tell you how to get out of it, but praise God, I can't go back. Whew, amen. Anybody in here been saved? Amen. The ground's level at Calvary. I want to give you another verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let me break that down a little slower. For the preaching of the cross is them that are perishing, that perish. You wouldn't believe it, but there are some people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. You're dying. And you're lost. You're perishing. I hate to explain this to you. I'm not a biologist, and I'm not a very smart man when it comes to science. But once you're born, you start living, but you also begin dying. Amen? This really, really don't start taking place until you're about 38 years old. Amen? Amen? 38. Amen? You'll start to see things and experience things that you never thought you would see or experience. Huh? I'm in that part right now is where I can't see that nor I cannot hear that. Amen? Oh, come on. I know, sis. I know I'm experiencing it. But if you constantly go, huh? That's not the other person. That's you. Oh, gosh. I'll be meeting some people after church. I want you to get that, but guess what? We're all perishing, but perishing with Jesus is different than perishing without Him. Amen? We're all passing away. We're all temporary beings. This tent right here will fade away, but what's on the inside matters. Amen? All right? But when we preach Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, they look at that as foolishness. They'll say, that's dumb, that's foolish, that's old thinking, that's some closed-minded way, but it is the only way. Amen? I love that it's the only way because God makes it simple that way. Amen? But to us that are saved, whew, are you saved this morning? To us that are saved, it is powerful. Amen? Because we're sitting here going, we couldn't act like this, talk like this, walk like this without it, Jesus being in it. Amen? In the Bible, when you get saved, here's some fireworks for you. The hero of our faith becomes Jesus. That's powerful. The hero of my story is not me. The hero of my story is a man named Jesus. Walked into my life and changed everything. Died for my sins. Forgave me of my sins even before I asked Him. While I was yet an enemy, Christ died for me and you. He's a hero. Amen? There's a God in there. He's the only good thing. If you've ever been saved, you'll know He's the only good. Amen? There was a rich young ruler who ran to Jesus and slid. He made one of the greatest entrances of the whole Bible. If you watch him, he was a rock star. He was rich. He had a lot of stuff. And he come up to Jesus, and it said he slid and hit his knees. And he said, good master. Great teacher. What do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? God leans over in the form of Jesus and said, there's only one good. There's only one good. And that's God. If you're calling me good, you got it right. But if you're just talking to God and you don't really mean it, then you're wasting your breath. But once you understand Him as the good master, the only good thing, that He changes. Amen? There's only one good, and that's God. And then guess what? By the power, there's this thing called the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God. Listen, a lot of you people in this church, you're sitting there going, how do those Christians do it? How do they do it? How do they live that life? Because when I got saved, I didn't know how you live that life. I always thought, man, I just can't live it. I don't mind to go to church. I don't mind to go and do what they're doing, but I don't know if I can live it. I don't know if I can hold it, Let me help me pray. I don't know if I can keep it. But the good news is I don't got to. Amen. I didn't know about the installation. Amen. I knew about the salvation. I knew it was a free gift. I knew if I repented and asked Him to be the Lord of my life and asked Him to forgive me of my sins, I knew that part, but I didn't know that there was an install coming. I didn't know there was going to be an agent. I didn't know there was going to be a witness. I didn't know one part of the Godhead was going to move in. And man, when He did, praise God, He don't talk loud, but when He does, He's like E.F. Hutton. Oh, never mind. Y'all, somebody reference that. If you're under 20, ask somebody. He says things like, don't do that. Don't go there. Read that. Experience that again. Amen? I'll just get on a limb right here. I remember the first time I ever read the Bible saved. I was standing in Shaw W.E. Plant W.E. at Shaw Industries in Chatsworth, Georgia. I had a little New Beginner's New Testament. It was an amazing Bible. It was the best Bible that's ever been written. Amen? It had the plan of salvation in it. It had some of the Psalms in it. And it had this, man, it had an amazing understanding of what salvation was, who Jesus was, and all this. And I remember I was standing at my machine at Plant W.E. wrapping carpet. Wrapping yarn that would be made into carpet. I remember standing there and I'd punch the buttons in and I'd have like 2 or 3 minutes between each segment, right? And I would take that Bible out and I'd begin to read. And I'd get in Romans. Romans was really big to me at that time. And I would read some of it. And I'm back there by myself, except I had a Samoan guy who was my fork operator who would come and get the yarn off the end of my machine, my wrapper, and it was just me and him back there. And see, I had went full crazy on Jesus. Amen. I got the real thing. I didn't get no some watered down. I might have been changed. I got changed. I mean, 180. Amen. I was wild before, but now I'm wild different. Amen. So I'm sitting there reading this thing, and I remember going, it was like finding the answers to the test, and you didn't even know you had the answers, and you didn't even know it was an open book test. And I would say out loud, it's right here. That's the answer. Do you not know it's there? I don't know who I was talking to. I was practicing up to get ready to preach. Some of that yarn is better things to preach to. I still believe if there's carpet in heaven, some of that yarn's coming out of there. Amen. Because some of it got delivered. But I would preach to that yarn, and all of a sudden that Samoan guy down at the end of the track would look at me and go, what are you doing? And every once in a while, I'd wander down to the end of the track, and I would say, I got all the answers to life. It's Jesus. And that's the look. That's the look I got from a lot of people. 700 people worked at that plant. 700 people seen me live like a total lost person. 700 people got to see me get saved. 700 people got to see me change. And 700 people one day got to see me walk out of that Egypt of mine, a new creation. Amen? If you don't think you can change, you're wrong. You know why? Because it's the power of God that gets in you and helps you live. I didn't know how to talk. The Spirit of God in me helped me talk. I didn't know how to walk. The Spirit of God got in me and helped me walk. I didn't know how to not sin. The Spirit of God got in me and helped me not sin. And when I do sin, praise God, that same Spirit brings conviction and brings me back to the same cross I came to get saved. I come back to it and say, God, here I am. Do it again. Not save me again. Wash me again. Forgive me again. Some of y'all don't need to be saved. Some of you need to come back and say, do it again. Because you stopped listening to God. I love this. There's four things you need to know about the cross. The breadth of a cross. The cross today, the breadth of it means it can reach anybody. Y'all good with that? It can reach anybody. And God told me while I was sitting over here a minute ago, if you ever get into a place where you think you're unreachable, God can reach you. God can reach you. Because like right now, we're sitting in this church, and we're kind of thinking narrowly. We're thinking all the people that are sitting here this morning are always going to do the right thing. But I've lived life. I've been in a church. I've been around a lot of churches. You can get sideways and get out of church and get a long way into places where you never thought you'd go, doing things you never thought you would do. I want to tell you, God can reach you. If you find yourself in the lowest pits of a prison, God is the only one that can walk the halls of prison unabated. He can slip through prison walls and prison doors and find you where you're at. Amen? And let me preach it this way too, because I wasn't going to, but let me preach it this way. He can dip his toes in the worst nook and cranny and shower that's ever been made for a prison. I'm going somewhere. Y'all just stay with me. Just hang on right here. But he can also, because some of y'all are opposite. The devil ain't going to take some of you to the lowest of lows. He's going to take some of you to the highest of highs. Amen? Because he can do both. Jesus can also dip his toes in the hot tub overlooking a city in the richest mansion in the world and sit down and go, is it as good as you thought it was going to be? Did it still not satisfy like you thought it would? And you can still say, I've been to the highest mountain, done all the great things, but the worldly stuff never satisfied. Can you cry out to Jesus from the penthouse? Yes. Amen. Ain't that good? God will meet you. Some of you in this room right now, you're going to go down a path and you're going to get so far away from this church and you're going to run. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you exactly what you're going to do. You're going to run from this like it was the worst thing in your life. But wherever you find yourself, you're going to find out this was probably the best place of your life. And you're going to remember good things, good people, and good treatment. But you know what? The only good thing about us was God. The length of God. There ain't nowhere he can't reach. Amen? He can reach anybody, but guess what? The length, there ain't nobody he can't reach. The height. It says if you go to heaven, everybody in heaven's going to be talking about one thing. Calvary. Calvary. You know what we're going to do when we first get there? We're going to recognize one thing about Jesus. He still has the scars from Calvary. Amen? He's the only one who got a new glorified body, but still had scars in it to remind us how we all got there. The moment the devil did the worst thing he could ever do. He took Jesus and lifted him up between heaven and earth and said, we've destroyed him. And God said, nope, you just cut me loose. See, as Gentiles in here, and most of us are, I know 99.9% of us in here have no Jewish heritage. So guess what? The moment he lifted us up, what he did is he opened the door to a Gentile nation that had no way to get saved other than through Jesus Christ. So some of you should every once in a while get silly and get stupid in Christ and just worship him for who he really is, because other than him dying on a cross for your sins, you wouldn't get in. Because there's some elite people and there's some special people who walk around and go, what do you think you're special? You got to go, man, I know I'm acting crazy. I know I'm getting out of sorts. I know I'm getting a little wobbly and a little loud. But praise God, I got saved by the Most High. Amen? I didn't belong in. I didn't get in. I didn't. There was nothing good about me and he found me. And I was on the outside. We are those ones grafted in. There's no depth. Glory to God. No depth. David said this, if I made my bed in hell, I would still be able to say God is good. He was faithful. Some of y'all sitting under the sound of my voice, you're going to hear this. I hate to tell you this, but when you get to hell, there's going to be one thing that you're going to remember and hear. You're going to hear messages like this, and you're going to sit there and go, man, I wished. God was so faithful, and he loved me so much. He reached out for me so many times in my life, and I rejected him so many times. I can't believe I ended up in a sinner's hell, but guess what? I did. But you know what? It wasn't because God didn't reach out for me and love me. So even in the depths, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow and say, God, he loved me. See, love is not always telling people what they want to hear. Love is not always saying everything's okay. Love is not already saying that's right. Love saying, if you don't change, if you don't turn, if you don't quit, if you don't surrender to Jesus Christ. Can I tell y'all a private or a personal story? I remember right near the end of my sinful life, I used to how would I do this? I would go to my father and I would manipulate. That's the word I was trying to think of. I would manipulate him. I don't know anybody's never manipulated anybody in here. That's not what we do, right? But I would manipulate him into giving me money. You know what I mean? The normal ones were guilt and shame of what he didn't do when I was a child. That was easy. That was easy money for me. I would just drive by my dad's house and I'd say, "You were never there. You didn't help me. You weren't there at ball games, and you weren't there at this. You weren't there at that. And I could have used you." And I didn't really want him to love on me or care about me or experience anything. You know what he would say to me? He'd go, "Kevin, I'm so sorry about that." It's like, "Yeah, I could really use about $200 right now." And most of the time, he would give me some money. But one time he said, "Kevin, this is going to be the last time I give you any money. But I'm not giving you the money because you've guilt and shamed me into this. I'm going to give you this money where I can tell you a truth." And all I heard was, "He's going to give me the money." I wish I was deeper than that, but I wasn't at the time. He said, "Kevin, if you don't repent and turn to Jesus, your life's going to be destroyed. I love you. I know it don't seem like it, and I know I ain't always done the right thing. But the best thing you can do, Kevin, is give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And if that don't include me, that's okay. But you need him." I got so mad, I left without the money. Amen? I was so offended, so mad that I left without the money. I just got down the road. I was so mad at him. Amen? Until I got saved. And I realized all the money they gave me was worthless. All the advice about Jesus was priceless. Amen? I want to tell you today, that's the only thing that's going to change your life. When you get into the deep parts, that's the only thing that's going to change your life. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Do you know that? But you know what the blood of Christ does? It does three things. Can I give them to you? It does three things. It satisfies. It satisfies God. Amen? The remission, when the blood is applied to your life, when the first drop of blood fell on Calvary, it satisfied God's judgment. Whew. If that blood is applied to your life, when you stand before God Almighty, it will say to Him, "You are innocent through His Son, Jesus Christ." That's what the blood does. It satisfies God. It satisfies the judgment of God. Another thing it does, it saves. It saves me. Amen? It is not saving, it saves. It saved me. Amen? I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means no matter what, from the day that it was applied until the day that I die, that I'll enter into the kingdom of God, not because of who I am or what I've done, it's because the blood of Jesus Christ is on my life. I'm saved. And you know what it helps me do? Helps me see other people get saved. Well, it helps me plant and helps me water and it helps when the increase comes. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to get into heaven or not. All I got to do is I got to be willing to throw out the lifeline for other people to get into the kingdom of God. And I've got to be about that. I can't always be standing on a stage, all cleaned up and all nice and all perfect and all things for everybody. Sometimes you got to go out into the world and get nasty and dirty and messed up and marred up, because if Jesus got marred up, you need to be marred up. It's silence. It's satisfies, amen, it saves, and the last one is my favorite. It silences. See, before you got saved, you had somebody who was an accuser of you constantly before God. It's Satan, amen? And he would stand there and he would say, "He's a liar, he's a thief, he's an adulterer, he's all these things, he's sinned in every way, she's sinned in every way." He would accuse you. But you know what? When the blood is applied, it silences him. It's your legal way out. Because what happens is the high judge, the high court, says, "Do you have an argument or a defense against all these accusations made against you?" Then your advocate, God, I wish y'all could help me. Your advocate Okay, in the court world, that means your lawyer. Amen? You wouldn't believe this. Can I do this? Is that all right, Ed, if I do this real quick? It wasn't part of the message. I'm just going to add it along. I told you I was going to be a short message, but I lied, apparently. Some of you are just now figuring that out. In the courtroom of heaven, it says, all rise, and the honorable judge God, you know, Almighty, amen? He walks in, amen? The beginning and the end comes, and he comes and sits in the courtroom, and we all see. And then all of a sudden, the devil gets up, and he's the prosecuting attorney, and he gets up, and he says, she's a liar, she's a thief, she's an adulteress, she's done this, she's taken drugs, she's lied, she's stole, and you know, or he, or whoever. And the judge goes, okay, all right. And he looks at you. Do you have any representation today? Huh? Do you have any representation? Well, I think I have a lawyer. He's not here yet. He'll be here in a moment. And all of a sudden, it's weird. It's kind of weird. It's kind of messed up. It's messed up in heaven. Because all of a sudden, the judge, the royal honorable judge, gets up and takes off his robe and puts on his lawyering robe. And as he's moving his way down to the defense, he gets down there. He's now Jesus. Because the form that you recognize him, that visual human form, is Jesus, your lawyer advocate. God, wish some of y'all would shout every once in a while and make a big difference in here. All of a sudden, he sits down beside you and says, I'll be arguing on the behalf of Melissa Shelton today, Your Honor. Amen. Now, it's still the judge who's became the one who's arguing your case. It's a rigged system. And the devil gets louder because that's the only thing he's got. She lied. She's an adulteress. She had an affair. She's had abortions. She's hurt people. He's lied. He's stolen. He's used drugs. He's hurt people. The lawyer looks over and goes, are you through? Yes. The blood, Your Honor. The blood. The blood. This one here, in her adultery, in her lies, in her theft, in all the things that she had done wrong, cried out, made a plea, made a ploy, cried out on the worst day, and I came and applied the blood. Everybody please rise. No. I do see the blood. Case dismissed. That's heaven. Case dismissed. It silences the devil. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verses 8 through 13. The thing that saved is the blood. The action that causes you to be saved is Jesus dying on Calvary. And I'm going to give you this. Scott, please come on up here and just be ready to sing. Y'all, would y'all be ready to sing as soon as I say, let's start? Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith the word? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I have preached to you today that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he would forgive your sins and be the Lord of your life. The word is nigh to you this morning. If you would see that and you would put your faith, you say, how do I put my faith in Jesus? You put your faith in Jesus like you put your faith in these seats and pews this morning, as you put your whole weight of life on them. You give everything to him. You put your whole life in his capable hands. Not part of it, not a profession, the whole life, the good, the bad, and everything. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This morning, if you believe what I've told you about the cross, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe in your heart and in your mind that he is the Son of God, you confess with your mouth. That means you say, God, I am a sinner, and I need you to be the Lord of my life. I resign my life to you. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What you talk about out of your heart is what you believe. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Everybody in this room, listen to me. There is no special people. It's a whosoever gospel. Once you get saved, you will not be ashamed of him, and he will not be ashamed of you. You will live your life for him because he died for you. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. What God is saying is there's no religion for anybody else other than Jesus Christ. And this is the point where I want you to hear me. Let's all stand. Please, everybody stand. Christians, believers, begin to pray right now that if we're in the midst of somebody in this room that needs to be saved, that we won't rush out of here in our minds and in our hearts, but we will be willing to stay until the point that somebody receives Christ. Begin to pray as if your life depended on it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice this morning and you've never been born again, you've never been saved, you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, and then after that, you led another life, a life for God, then you be that whosoever that calls upon the name of the Lord this morning. I'm going to give you the opportunity. The reason I did that last part in Romans chapter 10 is to tell you this. You don't need anybody to come alongside of you and help you get saved. If you believe in that Jesus Christ that died for your sins and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, he will save you. This morning as they sing, please do not hesitate. Do not sit here and go, I'll come back next week or I'll come back at a different time. There is no other time. Today is the day of salvation. I don't care if you're the oldest or the youngest, the smartest or the dumbest, the biggest or the smallest. If God has dealt with your heart, please step out and come and simply say, I need you, Jesus. As they sing, go ahead.